This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me. You're not gonna do nothing, you are not above me. I bet you wish you was me, I know it, I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, the number 500. What's poppin', everybody? We've hit 500 episodes.
We did it. We got there.
What the fuck is Berkey doing? We're at 500 episodes and he's not even on the mic.
That he's got to get done.
My sidekick, he just takes so much,
he's passing me a note.
Wow. The last person.
You're going to get in trouble, Burke.
Yeah.
No note passing in class.
Yeah. Remember what happened with Tiger and the guy? I didn't pass.
That was made up, I thought.
What was Tiger and the guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was just made up. Yeah. It wasn't a real thing.
Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, y'all.
What's popping, y'all?
Dude, 500. Can you believe we made it?
Yeah.
We made it?
Yeah.
Is this the halfway point? Because you said 1,000 is the number in your dream or whatever, or your fever dream?
It was not a fever dream. it was a panic attack. There's a huge difference. I think it was an optimistic halfway point at that juncture. I'd say we're probably
two-thirds of the way there now.
No, I think we're probably gonna end any day now.
See you tomorrow, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this feels like a real milestone episode.
We're 501 of the way there.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's it, guys.
Maybe the World Series at most. And then we just pack this.
The Buccos World Series?
Yeah, Brian.
When the Buccos make the World Series, we'll end the podcast.
Sure.
See you guys forever.
You and I.
I don't even know what the Buccos is.
Well, it's a nickname for the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Which is
Tampa Bay?
Well, let me finish. Buccaneer is a type of pirate. We are the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay,
therefore,
that's already a team
the Buccos.
Name. Yeah, figure it out.
Different.
The Buccos were around. The Pirates were around.
I honestly
way
thought
before
it was beavers.
The Tampa Bay.
I thought it was
the Buccaneers.
Like bucktooth beavers. Yeah. Like Bucco. I just like Buccaneers, I picture fans. A beaver in my head when I hear that.
Remarkable, we made 500
episodes. It's a big day. I mean, 500 episodes.
Don't do this.
I
know where you're going.
Ollie's, what? It's my dog's birthday. That's all I was going to say.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Taylor Swift! Really? How does she pick our 500th episode?
You know, I watched.
To pick.
She picked our 500th.
She stalks us. She's obsessed.
She did. You know, the Pirates didn't play today because they knew that I couldn't handle it. My brain couldn't handle all of this going on at once.
I rewatched the 400th episode last night just to try to get an idea of like what our milestone episodes look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 45 minutes of LaManna being a creepy Taylor Swift star. I mean,
it's tradition.
Grandpa got a little out of pocket.
Listen, it's not creepy.
It is a little.
Somewhere along the lines, you talked about peeing on her. And
oh, no.
What?
My apologies.
Not peeing.
You said you would not do that. Her peeing on you.
Oh, that's better. Yeah, much better.
It was literally like, no, I would never do that. And then somebody said, like, her peeing on you. He goes, well.
Like, what? No.
must have been when I was still drinking.
You're supposed to be drunk for this episode, by the way. Do you have any alcohol?
I'm drinking Red Bull. Like,
same.
You want some tequila?
Patron.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the 500th episode.
Warm.
First of all,
tequila.
You said for the night episodes you would get drunk.
I did? No,
you promised.
You said that.
Well, I said it. there you go.
No one wants gone red drunk.
Yeah, no, we don't want
late.
That. We want LaManna.
Too late.
That's like way too late.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
I was going to say something about you drunk night episode. I think I lost it. Yeah. But anyway.
For the best.
Yeah.
We'll recreate it someday. Not tonight.
Oh,
I will be getting drunk later when I listen to Taylor's new album.
Start now, pregame.
Oh, maybe pregame. I know what it was. It was somebody in one of the Ask Us Anything questions asked, who do you think on the set is most committed to their bit? And it's for sure you. Like, no one commits to a bit like the tortoise.
Is it a bit, though?
I look at my shirt.
It's just his personality.
Sure, it's got
a little A, little B.
Tortoise,
I mean,
on it says slow and steady.
It's not about how you commit to the bit, you know? It's
I thought just it was the Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, that. Well, any bit.
That's not a bit.
Literally, that's what I mean.
That's not a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think it's like... That's like I'm very excited. Heart and soul.
Michelle and I are going to throw a party at the house, just the two of us listening to her new album probably three times in a row.
Man.
Okay.
I'm going to die
that's
alone.
Cute.
you'll have Pip.
That's cute.
Well, I got it for yeah. a couple years.
That's really
a good
cute.
Girl.
We like have people coming like to the house to take you guys away. Really cute guys.
5150, yeah. Both of you.
How does one experience a watch party for an album? I mean, like, I know how you experience Taylor Swift, but you won't know any of the words yet. So.
Yes, well, we
just
won't know the words.
Think about that Thanksgiving when he sang like an entire Taylor
That's what
Swift
I'm saying.
Album.
So he knew like all that. The words
so,
at that point.
So what we're going to do is we'll put it on...
Google the lyrics.
Put it on TV. Well, no. If you look at Apple Music, it has the music.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Okay. It has the lyrics.
He has a plan.
It has the lyrics, yeah. So we will look at the lyrics while we listen to the music. Mm.
Yeah, and you cry.
You don't just look.
I might cry. I mean, it's called the Tortured Poet Department. So
I do this when an Eminem album drops, and he's dropping one this year. It's been announced. So
really?
I'm with you.
Man, yeah. See? As big of an Eminem fan as I am, obviously nowhere near as big of an Eminem fan as you are, I don't want him to make any more music.
Why?
If you
don't listen
good,
to it
Nikki.
Anyway, you don't care.
He's old?
Well, I do listen to it because I like Eminem, and I hope that
so
it's
you don't
be
like
good.
Music to be murdered by.
He's
that was like the last album that he put out, and then he made Music to be Murdered By Part 2.
It wasn't good.
It was good, and you lack taste.
Yeah, he,
there were
still.
A few albums that in the middle there in like 2009-10 that weren't that
they
great.
They were really bad.
Like Relapse and Recovery.
I liked those.
No.
I liked those albums.
No, he was singing in Triumph the Comic Dog
yeah,
voice
yeah, exactly.
the whole
I
fucking
hated
time.
That. As a fan, I hated
it was
that.
So like
bad.
Love the Way You Lie. That was good.
I hated
that
on,
was like the one.
Encore, and I hated yeah. I yeah. hated a Relapse.
So
Relapse was really
his
bad.
His first three albums were great. Was Encore
yes.
one of those?
No, that was the fourth.
Mm. His yeah. first three were like really good, and then, you know, kind of
yeah.
tapered
the
off
Marshall Mathers LP was incredible.
Well, yeah.
Lil Wayne is still really good.
Eminem so. Shows are my favorite.
Eminem Show
that's
was the
one
third
with,
one.
That's the third album.
Till I Collapse?
Right.
Yeah. Till I Collapse. I'm spilling these raps as long as you hear
get
them.
It.
The day that I stop, you'll never say that I'm not spilling them. Because when I am Smosh. Not, then I'm going to stop it. And then I am not hip-hop. And I'm just not Eminem.
What stuffy nose voice are you using?
Well, he has a nasally voice.
He does, yeah.
And I can't be a man, so that's as best as I could do.
Okay, we'll let it fly. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a big Dr. Dre fan. I'm a big Eminem fan.
Yeah, right.
They've had their moment. And look, rap is really fucking bad right now.
It's Taylor's,
so
it's
anything,
not. Taylor's moment
it's
right
not.
Now.
You're a big hater.
It's pretty good.
Rap is pretty good right now.
Yeah,
as long as it's not
go
the
on.
Mumble rap.
Like Drake's still good.
Is he?
Rap,
yeah.
Rap is whatever. I mean, it's not.
What do you
the
think,
worst. Not
Drake's
the best.
Still good.
Sure, he has some fun.
Wait, what about there's a big feud? It's like all these guys hate Drake now that
yeah,
you see
I mean,
friends with them.
None of those songs are really good or anything.
There
not,
are,
but we don't trust
they're,
you.
They're catchy.
Good.
Like
there
some
are
of good, them are
no, Kendrick's killing it. There are
no,
good
okay.
rappers.
I mean,
okay.
he was killing. He did kill it.
Please explain to me how Drake is great and Kendrick is mush.
I don't think Kendrick's that good.
They're oh all God. Good.
There was a it's 10 so year.
J. Cole's the best one out of all.
J. Cole,
so it's not even a fucking question.
Also fantastic.
There was like a 10 year stretch, like 1995 to 2005, where like that was the best rap.
Weird. Maybe that was your 20s.
It's weird. Yeah. But, I mean, is it not true?
I mean, yes, rap was good during that time.
Right.
It was a brand new genre or new-ish.
New-ish, yeah.
Also, they were murdering one another for our entertainment. So, like, you know.
Yeah, now they feud like,
now
oh,
they
like you chip my nail. And they used to be like, I'm going to kill you. Like, it used to be, like, hard. Now it's like.
Yeah.
They got
I got a manicure
rap.
And you messed it
I'm
up.
Kill
you.
You
know,
you
I said rap isn't
me.
Good right now. And you're defending
well, the,
it. Now
the,
you're
the feuds,
back attacking
the feuds
it.
Are not good. But the music is good. The R&B's good.
R&B and rap, not the same
it's
thing.
Similar, though.
Oh, come on. You're really taking liberties here.
You guys, we lost four viewers because of this convo.
Yeah, because
he
said Kendrick
is okay.
better than Drake.
We got
yeah.
questions.
Kendrick is bad.
As soon as we pivoted off of Taylor, we just our
yeah.
viewership just plummeted.
It's plummeting.
You know what? Just because you went back to Taylor, I'm going to tell you what Ephro has to say.
Oh, boy.
He says, if the album is as bad as my diehard wife fan says it, fan wife says it is.
Oh, she listened.
I don't expect to see the tortoise on episode 501 while he recovers.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
R.I.P. to the turtle.
Here's the thing with
Brian can't listen with a critical ear.
You guys think I am a diehard fan, which I am, but there's like people that are like way beyond me, and they are hyper critical of every little note and lyric that she has to say. So I don't know if this person.
But like, do they say it's bad if it's bad?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what he's saying.
Die Hard.
Die Hard said it was bad. But you know, right. A lot of times.
The man is a level below Die Hard. He can't listen with a critical ear. He's going to love everything that comes out.
Yeah. That's not true. It's just.
Like Nikki with Eminem.
I might not hold her to as high of a standard as some people. That's all.
If you watch my reviews on Eminem's albums, you'll see that I criticize correctly.
You know, it's crazy that I haven't found the time to do that just yet.
Well, make time.
Maybe this weekend.
We should watch that. We'll put it on the TV.
That's how we're going to spend our $500.
Usually with music, for me, and not just Taylor, but all music, it needs to like grow on me a little bit. I need to like learn the lyrics and then like hear the song a few times before I really start to like it. It's hard. It doesn't happen very often.
No such thing as a banger right out of the gate.
I mean, once in a while, but usually when you like, I never like hear a song for the first time, like, oh my God, this is the greatest song I've ever heard.
I do often, actually.
Too often, probably.
They're always like the sad, depressing
one.
Absolutely. First time I heard Louis Capaldi changed my life.
He's like in the car, like screaming, crying.
What's that new song that's all over TikTok? Like beautiful something. I don't know. He was like
Beautiful Soul by that
Jesse McCartney.
Yeah, Jesse McCartney.
That's fucking like 1992.
Amazing.
So we've got a lot of questions from our viewers, guys.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Shout them out.
Yeah, on Monday on our Twitter, we asked them to ask us anything, and they have a lot of questions for you guys. Are you prepared mentally, physically?
I'm ready.
Physically, spiritually,
I am ready.
Okay, so the first question is from A1 Caitlin Komeski. If the cast played Survivor... What? Don't fucking flex. Okay, if the cast played Survivor, who would win... Who would be voted out first? Who would be the villain? Who would be the hero?
It's only the cast?
Yeah.
Wait, it's all of us, or is there other people?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, is it only the cast?
Yeah, just us. Like, the, yeah.
If it would win.
The cast was on Survivor.
Watch us alone. Like,
who else would you?
I think I would be the first one out.
Who else would you want?
Yeah.
You
would either be the first. I think Guapo would win.
What's your reasoning behind that?
Because I think you know how to survive on as little as possible.
Yeah, and you would be building the shelters and stuff and gathering the water and like doing all the physical.
I also think he would avoid getting voted
off.
I don't think he would get voted off. Like he would fly under the radar. Yes.
Obviously, Guapo has the best social game.
Guapo would get carried to the end.
Right.
Yeah. They'd be like, he's solid. Like, and he would just kind of be quietly, like, stacking sticks.
Everyone knows
stuff.
The island would be.
Why are you saying
a they?
It's you guys. It's we're playing against one another.
No, I think we should do it. I think we should do it if there's other people, too.
I'm actually probably killing Melissa first.
Why? That's rude.
Because she's feisty. She's going to do something dirty. Berkey's going second.
You don't bring a lot to the table. You're going to eat a lot of the protein. You're going to shit yourself.
Berkey's
guys, I'm really
second.
Resourceful. Like, I will go and gather so much stuff.
You're going to demand to be washed and fed.
In exchange for being washed and fed and changed, I will go and gather like berries.
See, I'm keeping
sticks.
Anyone that gathers and stuff.
I'm
That's
a
why
big
Bopper's
gatherer.
On.
I love to find stuff and collect it.
I'm the one that like isn't doing anything. Like I'm just like manipulating people into thinking like they need to do things.
Okay, well you can be on my team and I'll gather.
Yeah,
and
we can
do that
be
part.
In an ally thing.
Yeah,
Berkey's out first for sure because when he doesn't get enough sleep, he's like really like on edge.
that's a strong trait in the Survivor world.
Being cranky.
Yeah, you got to put it's people like in their place from time to time. You know, you can't just.
You
just,
might just
run
storm off
shot.
And be sick of us because we're
like,
not doing enough.
You know how in Survivor...
That's all right. I would win all the... here's the thing. I actually wouldn't be the first one out because I would win all the immunity challenges.
This guy.
We wouldn't let you get that far.
What do you mean?
You're out before any of those
There's
challenges.
No vote before
the
immunity
tribe,
challenge.
You out.
That's not how it works.
Well,
there's a lot of times they're not individual challenges. So.
Yeah, in the beginning it's
tribes.
So you have
to rely on other people...
All right. Well, I would have to draft a good team. Yeah.
What if
you're
first,
back in, Melissa?
What if the first immunity challenge is knowing all the states?
Okay. Well, honestly, in this group, I feel confident.
What? I know a lot of states.
Wait, hold on. Whoa.
Listen, this group guys, would I think smoke you.
First of all, if you don't know anything in the fucking Midwest, so you're already ruled out.
I know every.
He's not even from here. He's from down south. What? I'm going to do just fine. I think I get like 46 of them.
I'm really good at puzzles.
I would take the other of 46.
I think we need Tortoise, though, for the like physical challenges.
We did this already. We've been here before.
Book it. State capital's different story.
Oh, man.
I feel like you know how in Survivor, like everyone's trying to sleep and there's one person that's like so antsy and they can't like just lay around. So they're like chopping wood at 5 in the morning. I feel like that's Berkey and he's just going to like... He's going to piss us off and then tell us we're not doing enough.
I think so.
And so everyone's going to be like, you know, we should really get rid of that
We should
guy.
Take his resources.
let him build up all the resources.
Like with all his early morning resources.
Right, yeah. Once you're done chopping that tree down, we're going to kick you off the
I'd be the one sleeping like a baby. Conrad would be the one who's up at 3 fucking a.m.
That's true, yeah. Well, Conrad can't sit still.
Conrad would like be befriending a raccoon somewhere.
You're not wrong.
Like he's cool. Let him in.
Conrad snuck in weed, like so everyone's friends with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that about sums it up. Hope that answers your question, Caitlin. This is the one you were talking about, Berkey. Which cast member is most committed to their respective bit?
It's LaManna.
Yeah.
Nobody has a better running bit. And if you throw a bit at him midway through, he just sucks it up and goes with it.
You know it.
Minus He's that. I would love to lose the fucking maraca.
You're not going
to
lose the maraca unless you take...
No. I can lose anything I want, whether or not...
You're going to have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Okay, well, stranger things have occurred.
It's like nice knowing
Brian's
you.
Gone missing.
Brian's getting voted off if he brings the maraca,
yeah,
for
that's
sure.
Definitely not going to fly.
Yeah, I'd form an allyship with Berkey if the maraca was coming.
Yeah, like, what? You guys want to vote me off first. What do you think the next weeks look like?
Only if you're cranky.
Only if you're cranky. I'm always cranky. Look around.
Well, Guapo would do
I'm
all
always cranky, but
stuff.
Like, I get shit. Look around. Like, outside of Guapo, who's doing anything?
Well, that's why you're a threat to us.
Yeah, exactly. You're a threat. You're a threat, and you're cranky.
We're trying to win
just
the game.
Just take it as a compliment, boss. You're no. Right.
Exactly.
Too much. Right. Do too much.
You're too physically fit.
I'd figure it out. That's all I know. I would just figure it out.
They'd forget you were on the show. You'd be like off in the woods somewhere.
This is the easiest game of Survivor ever created.
Let's go play then.
I think you guys are underestimating.
We should play. We should play something stupid like that.
We should go in the woods and do like Survivor.
So I always wanted to do like a Big Brother, like just like a one day Big Brother, like in a house somewhere, just get everybody and just like play different games and then have somebody vote people off and make alliances. Just have the whole day be like a whole season of Big Brother.
You mean like werewolves? You mean like werewolves?
We're like werewolves, yeah. Or traitors,
I can't play werewolves.
We do that all the time.
I can't play that game. No,
we just don't film it.
No, I'm saying like actually like Big Brother, not like playing werewolves.
Oh.
Like it's in a
way
house.
Different. Yeah, like where you're literally off having conversations with people and, you know, playing the game.
We played Survivor on Telegram in COVID.
You didn't play Survivor?
Yeah.
How do you play Survivor?
Listen, man.
We played werewolves.
No, we played Survivor on Telegram during, or it might have been Telegram/Discord during COVID.
How do you do an immunity challenge?
Oh, there was... bunch of ways.
Okay.
Actually, the Houston group of poker players did a live Survivor recently. Not that sure sounds
cool. Yeah, you could do like online games.
Run It Up used to do. They used to stream werewolves. It was fun. Kind of cool.
All right, this one's one that actually I was very interested in when I first met you guys because you guys are so odd. This one is Brad Clifford asks, how did all of the podcast members meet and become part of the team? You guys are just an eclectic group of people, and it's very interesting.
I can
kinda
enlighten everyone.
Kind of like how Pip got adopted. Like,
yeah.
No. I saw. Pip was the puppy in the window that I said I have to have that.
Yeah, you said that to us. You're like,
you're a bunch of trash pandas that fucking ransacked my house.
Well, we were like Rudy.
Huh? Yeah, we were like Rudy.
No, I would have left Rudy. Where the fuck you found
him? Only Melissa and Conrad.
Trash pandas.
Landon's not here.
The people that live in his house, you mean?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying for all people on the podcast, it's just them two today. Well, yeah. Landon as well.
Brian, honestly, everybody in this room, in some capacity, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's going to come off that way. Everybody in this room was forced upon me in some sort of capacity. Yeah,
it's true.
All the way back to the first time I met LaManna. My granddad was friends with his dad and was like, all right, I'm going to take you to meet this kid. You need a friend.
Well, that sounds about right.
You needed a friend, and I was there for you.
They lived so goddamn far away, it was impossible to be friends.
It sounds like they were forced upon you and you needed them.
Oh, let's not go too far.
Yeah. He's always like, I'm a lone wolf, but if you were really alone, you'd be so sad.
Berkey lived alone.
You think I'm happy?
Like half a second.
If he didn't like it, he would have kicked us out. Let's relax.
You'd be less happy if you lived alone.
Yeah.
That sounds glorious.
You tried living alone for like a month and you hated it.
No, I got so fat to yell and so rich. And
that's part of like one of the joys in your life.
The only person I yell at is Rudy and Landon because he's disrespectful. By the way, I tested it yesterday just to double up on your water theory.
Oh, yeah?
This is how I know it's Landon. It holds a full half gallon once the water is out of the jug.
A full half.
So you can get an entire half gallon of water
in the
reservoir. Yeah.
If the reservoir is not a thing.
No, it really matters so much because now not only is like the jug empty, but you're still making the conscious decision to take the next half gallon of water prior to replacing the jug.
Right.
Which could only be Landon.
Why is that?
Because it's impossible to not see that the jug is empty.
Right.
Like, I thought Melissa was upset that, like, you know, the jug would get kind of down to the low part
that
and
I
people
don't mind.
Aren't like.
You're running good if you fill your water and the jug's low.
I forgot about Landon. I think he would get voted off first. He would definitely take all the resources.
Yeah, he would eat as much of our stuff.
Right. Yeah, he would drink all the water.
You'd have to get rid of him first.
Yeah, we would.
Nobody survives.
Would survive.
Either he does or,
We wake up one morning, all the rice is gone.
He's like, I'll get more. Like, what do you
This time it is about the rice, Landon.
I'll find more.
About the rice.
Like, no, you won't.
I'll grow it.
It'll be fine.
That is those famous last words. Like, eats the last of something that you're just looking forward to. And he goes, I'll get more. What?
Literally, he said that last week because Berkey was pissed that he drank the last protein shake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's just like, I'll just order more.
like that's great. Yeah. A week from now. Right, what about right this fucking second when I'm hungry?
I think he meant like he just Instacarted to the place. So you have to wait like a half hour. But
no, I waited the whole show.
Yeah. He doesn't just do it. You have to wait till he gets
it's
yelled
something
at
he
and then
says
he does.
Yeah. As a Band-Aid and then hopes you forget about it.
Yeah. Here's the whole story. I bought a protein shake, left it in the refrigerator so that I could make myself pancakes before the show a couple days ago. And I come in and I pour my pancake mix all ready to go. And I open the fridge and there's no shake. And I go, you protein stealing shake motherfucker. And he goes, what? I'll get more. And it's like, when? So then he orders Instacart during the show, gets strawberry banana protein, which I wouldn't eat if it was the last fucking shake on earth.
Of course he gets strawberry banana.
And he goes,
banana.
Do you want this?
It's got two different kinds of fruit, Burke.
Son of a bitch.
By the way, our podcast is so on brand that we've gone on so many tangents that nobody actually answered this last question.
I don't even remember what it was.
He did answer. He said, you're all a bunch of trash pandas that got forced on me.
How they all met.
Homeless.
Yeah. Berkey and I met as kids. We were childhood friends.
He was forced on me every step of the way. I hated him. He's like, I play poker now. I was like, fine, I guess I play poker too.
Berkey loved me until probably about ninth grade. Then we hated each other until we graduated, and then we became friends again in college.
Yeah. There, you know what it was? What it was is I realized...
You were a prick. Yeah.
I was a little bit of a prick. You were annoying.
Of course I was annoying.
But I realized after that incident with Renee in eighth grade that I couldn't defend you through high school any longer, and we had to go our separate ways. It was all over. She's been an icy juicy on him. I mean, at that point, you know, your high school career is over.
That was like embarrassing for you to be friends with him because she spit
no,
icy
no, no,
juicy.
No. It was just.
How did you meet Melissa?
Good job, LaManna. Keep it on the rails.
The series of events that led to it were just like, that was the most insulting thing you could have said, but it was funny. Anyway, so in hierarchical order, Conrad was next. Mm-hmm. Who was just his Christian stowaway.
Right.
I was Christian stowaway.
Chin's like, I might move here, I might not, but like, definitely take this guy off my hands. I was like, does he do anything? He's like, ah, he gets really high a lot, but he can deal.
Does he do any tricks?
Like, oh, okay.
Does he do any tricks?
As long
tricks?
As he can deal, I guess we can use him for the academy. That was my introduction to con. Every one of you, minus Nikki and maybe Guapo, have slept on the couch in this office.
This is true.
No, I and slept
me.
In
oh, yeah, I guess LeMaine
and it stunk.
I never.
You slept where and it stunk?
I slept in that cot when there was a cot back
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It stunk
yeah.
to no. high heaven.
Yeah, you should have washed the cot.
I put a t-shirt down because I was like, I'm not putting my head on this.
A t-shirt. So. Jesus.
Yeah, it was always just like, here's this person. It's like, do you have a place for him? I'm like, yeah, the office. And then somehow a room would just magically open up at your house. And it's like, well, guess what? You don't have to sleep at the office anymore.
Like, you get invited to live there. Like, you graduate into living at
Melissa
Berkey's
never
house.
Got the invite. She had a fucking snake, and Landon was just like, hey, we have an empty room. I was like, I don't care. There's a giant python that's not living at my house. And then one day I woke up and Rudy was there. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Hello, rock boy.
Rudy was really good at the collection. Beginning. He really fit right in, and then I don't know what happened.
I feel like Trina kept him in line. Somehow.
No, Trina wasn't there with him.
No.
I thought she was. I thought you took Christian's room.
I did.
Mama Jo lived downstairs.
Nope.
Never. Mama Jo was already gone.
Oh. Oh, because Landon took her room.
Landon took her room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Then Gatsby got old.
Yeah, and then he started rebelling.
What other questions you got for us, Nikki?
All right, so the next question is Scott Brewster asks, what are thoughts on Neuralink and how it will impact poker in the next 5 to 10 years? People will be able to sit together and communicate with each other without speaking. Also, you'll be able to share data output from your Neuralink to another person and have it transcribed. This guy's he's very concerned about the Neuralink.
I see that.
I think it's more than five.
Thanks. 10 years
you
away.
Plead the fifth?
I plead the fifth.
Are you implying that you have an opinion that you don't want to state because it might
Neuralink.
Self-incriminate you?
That's what it sounds like.
If you have Neuralink, it doesn't work very well.
Can we spend a few minutes to describe the fifth, Conrad? It's not a bottle of vodka.
Ooh, that's disgusting.
Sorry.
I'd be more concerned with the fact that I'll just have access to pornography whenever
oh,
I want.
No.
Like, I'd be in the middle of a 3-bet pot and...
just boobs everywhere. I mean if all of this that he just spelled out comes true, poker is like
it's
the
dead.
Least of our concerns.
Yeah.
Way bigger issues. I mean, you're basically just gonna be able to like I don't know
ethically talk
all
to
the jobs are in trouble.
Not even telepath, but you basically be able to like dox anybody walking down the street.
Yeah.
To some degree. Yeah. You know, it's, I don't
probably
know.
Privacy
okay.
settings.
Dano asks, if your lives were made into a film, what actor would you want to portray you?
Keanu Reeves.
Mm. Adrian Brody.
For you. Mm-hmm. You want Keanu Reeves to play Poo Dog Melissa. Yeah.
Me too.
Okay.
And you want Keanu Reeves
scene.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
They could do that, you know, that twins Lindsay Lohan thing.
Like in Parent Trap. Right.
Yeah, in Parent Trap. Yeah. But playing both of us.
Right. Keanu Reeves playing both of us.
I think Adam Sandler would make an excellent tortoise.
Mm. I thought you were going to go with Taylor.
Taylor? No, no, she already did the, you know.
Yeah, I could see Adam Sandler playing you.
I could see that too. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
One. Yeah. I think Berkey should be Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that's good.
Dementia.
Yeah,
that's why
he's dementia perfect.
Oh, who's the other guy from Fast and the Furious? That
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. Yeah,
Vin Diesel. Nah, he got fat.
Well, we need bald guys to play.
Yeah, what other bald guys are there?
No, he's too big.
There's only one person to play.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce.
You said that already.
Who play you, Conrad?
Travis Kelce play me.
There's only one.
Travis Kelce,
the soccer player guy.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
There's only one man for the job.
This is a really interesting cast.
There's only one man for this job.
Two women played by Keanu Reeves. Johnny Depp is playing a black guy.
I want to watch this movie, though.
Yeah, it sounds
this isn't
good.
A very big vote of confidence for this podcast, but if we assembled that cast of characters and had them do the only... I would not watch.
I would watch.
I would watch.
I think Keanu would crush
Keanu
it.
Talking to Keanu with...
He's like, did you shave your ass, bang?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
What about you, Guap?
Johnny's like, where's
Adrian
the
Brody?
Oh, Adrian Brody.
I could see
that. That's Entourage,
tall,
right?
Skinny, big nose.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't see it. I don't think you have a big nose.
It's you know,
I think
not
it's
small.
It's pretty normal.
It's very Romanesque, I've been told.
Yeah. Well, if you don't think he has a big nose, Berkey Bitch Slap Tracker would like to know, what is your biggest loss on a single hand and in a single session, Berkey?
Single hand, I've definitely lost seven-figure pots. I'm pretty sure it's the one where Roger Sipple made a royal versus me. At least that's the most memorable one. I might have lost more in a hand, but if I did, it couldn't have been much more. That was $1 million pot.
Probably like 6K. Very big.
Yeah.
I think I lost like 450 down at the Jewel.
Biggest loss in a session, I think I lost like 650 a couple of times, somewhere in that neighborhood.
$650,000 pot?
That's like a pretty nice house in Vegas.
In a session.
In a session, yeah. Yeah.
That could get you a gated community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do? You gamble. I won a million multiple times. So, you know, there's that.
Okay, I really like this question from Nadav. What is your alternative career if poker disappeared tomorrow? Yeah. No one.
I obviously don't have an answer for that.
No one has a snap answer.
If anybody had an answer, we wouldn't fucking be here. Like, there's no way... it's such a difficult question to ask or to answer because, like, if you're successful in poker, there's almost nothing else you're going to be that good at that you can make anywhere remotely close to comparable money in.
That's not true.
Yeah, I would say like crypto. Yeah. There's a lot of
that's poker. Not a career.
Yes, it is a trader, like a trader.
Nowadays,
like something that, like, you know, like a Dan O'Brien or Dave went into. Like, these guys are a lot of poker players.
Yeah,
really smart, successful poker players moved into the crypto space because it's, you know, it's just a game in a way, right?
So it's a lot of carryover skills.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, but that I think like the upside is probably 100x what poker is.
There's definitely more upside.
Yeah,
I don't know about 100x. You think that
I think
they're making like 100 million in a year?
I think you can make 100 million.
I
think
that maybe not in a year, but
that's kind of my point. It's like
I think like the best players in poker are making a million a year, and the best people in crypto are making 100 million a year.
I think a million is selling it short. A million's very easy to make. It is. If you're in the top 1 to 5% of poker players, like if you have access
to 1 to 5, that's big. You think there's 5% of people making a million a year?
No way.
Only
5% of poker players win.
10%. No way.
I just think it's funny, like a poker player being like, "That's not a real job." To like anything else.
Yeah, I
didn't say poker was a real job either.
Well, it's your career. We just would we would tour around on a tour bus and just do gigs.
Yeah, we do gigs.
Yeah.
I would sell my wares. I have a lot of hobbies and crafts that I do, and I would like my dream. I always talk about this to Steve is to just like have enough time to do all my crafts, and then every Sunday at the farmer's market, I sell my wares.
You could do that on like Etsy.
I could wrap them in banana leaves. I don't have time.
Oh,
I need the time freedom to do my crafts in peace, where it's, you know, art from the soul, and then I sell them at the farmer's market.
That's similar to what I would do. I would have to find a way to scale, but
in a beach town.
I really like buying stuff and then selling it online.
I think I would be doing what I did before, which was retail.
But isn't the thing with
being an astrophysicist?
Isn't the thing with why you wouldn't do any of this stuff because the hourly is like massively lower?
No, not everyone is motivated by money. Like I think I'm way more motivated by process and like.
But you don't have money, you're motivated by money.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that I would want to get to the point where I could just do that. Like it says, if you could pick something else.
Yeah.
If you had money.
Right. I'm just
like,
playing.
Money was no object.
Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate of like you can pick something else and you choose not to pick these things because the
you're
ceiling
weighing,
is too low.
You're weighing all your pros and cons.
I'd be a pop star.
There you go.
Like my thought process is if poker disappeared tomorrow,
obviously
we have to shift into something else. How much of a pay cut are you willing to take in a different field? Because like I just don't know where you're making $1,000 an hour. Not that everybody in this room is making $1,000 an hour, but like that's like what the upper echelon of poker looks like. It's like you can make $1,000 an hour. It's like, how are you going to do that elsewhere unless you're like in tech?
I could find a job that I have no resume. No one would hire me and pay me $100 an hour even. Like
Right. That's I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at is like if we all had to shift careers, we're talking about like getting back into like entry level positions.
Yeah, I don't even think I could get a job like in retail today, probably.
They'd right, it's
like,
hard.
Why haven't you worked in like almost 10 years?
I think resume gaps are a little bit less of a concern as they used to be.
Yeah, me too.
People work from home. People think, do their own thing.
I think like if like I had to, I'd like know enough people around town that I could like get a job.
That's
a half decent job somewhere on the strip doing
I feel like I could be an editor. Like that's like basic skills that I think everybody wants and needs. I could do that. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I would want to do forever. But like you can
I would be a stay at home wife.
And there you go.
That's
stay at home.
Yeah. Well, if Poker disappeared tomorrow,
it's a great job.
Oh man.
Not even a stay at home mom, just a stay at home wife.
Right.
Like,
yes. If you have kids and then it's like having a job, you know? So
well, I would be
that ruins the whole thing.
No, I would be a mom too.
A stay at home wife that makes the crafts and sells them at farmers markets.
Yeah, there's all these memes that are like, I just want to be a wife that has a business that loses $10,000 a month.
Listen, guys, don't worry. Jersey Joe said we can all come work for him.
There we go.
He's gotta go move to Jersey. Yeah. We're good.
Okay.
I'll go work with Jersey Joe.
Shout out to Jersey Joe.
Can I do it remotely?
What kind of work are we gonna be doing?
I think he owns a car something car
oh,
dealership.
I can sell cars. Perfect.
Something along those lines.
Oh, I would start a construction company.
Oh yeah.
With
yeah.
We would start our like we would finally, you know, get on the road
Let's do it.
And start doing pools and backyards.
No.
Yeah.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
You won't. Get on the road.
We'll do it.
You just won't.
Living out of an RV.
Berkey, would you say since these trash pandas got dumped on you that you know them pretty well or not very well?
You know, I mean, I really try to keep my distance, Nikki.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a bad job.
But, you know.
You live with them and work with them, but you're doing a really bad job.
Yeah, but, that you know, that's all very surface level kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean.
Every night he's like, guys, come watch TV with me.
Could
like
you?
A girlfriend.
Could you imagine that
guys,
world?
Guys, I want attention. Who's
I just
want to
cuddle
TV with me on the couch.
Could you imagine that world actually existing? Yeah, I probably know a thing. I mean, like, I know LaManna the best, obviously. Okay. And then I think I know Guapo's habits to the point where I could probably guess just about anything. Like, if you guys were playing Survivor. Yeah. I imagine Guapo would be trying to start a fire, and as he's collecting all the wood and you know rubbing two sticks together, and someone presents him a match, he's like, "No, wait, I got it! Like, I got to tie up this bundle of wood, and you know we got to make sure that just in case they lose our luggage, I can get this fire started."
Their luggage should be coming any day.
One worry wart in the group, right?
Well, before the show, I asked all of you to write down a confession and put it in my Steelers hat. This is my Steelers hat.
Your Steelers.
Okay. Yeah, put it in my Steelers hat that I treasure so much. And they're all anonymous. We don't know who wrote what. And I will read one or two of them, and we'll try to figure out who done it.
Okay. I think I'm going to go 5 for 5 on this.
Wow.
Who do you... You think that you could guess everybody correctly?
Yeah.
After he just said he doesn't really know if he knows everybody.
Not only do I think I go 5 for 5, but I think I can pick out the fake one that Melissa put in there.
For sure. That's going to be the easiest one.
Okay, ready? Yeah. This is the first one.
Okay.
I didn't know ladies had 3 holes down there until I was 19.
That's Brian.
That's Guapo. That's like Guapo. Guapo would write like
that's
that.
For sure.
Hold on a second. Adam, anybody? Oh, never mind.
We know that it can't be anyone else.
Nobody writes like Guapo. That.
Who do we think
the only thing that could possibly be is like Melissa's fake one?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No,
it's either Melissa's fake one or it's too Guapo-esque to be the Melissa fake.
It's true.
I will say.
You're going with me on this one.
He says ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I didn't know that we had 3 holes until health class in 7th grade. I thought it was just a crack. Like, I didn't know. Did you know?
In what grade?
7th grade.
Yeah, the urethra. You didn't know about the urethra?
Well, no, I mean, I knew the pee
Guys,
hole.
Guys, I didn't know until this very moment.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know where the pee hole was until, like, my 20s.
Yeah, I didn't know
I didn't
there
know
was
it was, like, inside.
A giant hole there.
All right, Melissa, you're going with me on this one then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tortoise?
Yeah.
He's saying this very cocky. Like, it's definitely not him.
Sounds like it might be Conrad all of a sudden.
He's trying to get somebody to fucking crack.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Who didn't see a vagina until they were 19?
It was me.
It was me.
What's wrong with not seeing a vagina until you're 19?
It was literally just the phrasing.
Well, I just was trying to,
he'd seen vagina before. He just didn't, you know, examine for a pee hole.
You can see a vagina and not realize that there's...
A startling number of men think that pee comes out of the vagina.
Well, it kind of does, though. It's like it's actually like in there.
That's squirt.
Okay, well, it's like,
I know
it's like a little bit of love.
No, that's not actually it.
That's not it.
No, I thought that was it.
Wait,
because there is like a hole type thing there.
That's where it is.
No, it's like,
well, it's kind
this is great.
It's kind of in the vagina. Like it's like in the entrance of the vagina. Because I learned this.
No way.
And I was like, wait, really? I thought the thing I was looking
at. Yeah. Can we get a...
No, we're not doing that. Yeah, an
image, if you can pull Jamie, up. Pull that up.
Yeah, if you
can. Where I feel it come out of the tongue.
Oh, no. I know. It looks like it comes out of there, but yeah. I don't think that's it.
I think this is very important for us to determine, because this should demonstrate to us where squirt comes from.
It comes from like squirt it's like, is not it's pee. Like near the entrance.
I heard it's pee.
It's not pee. It's pee. Mixed
definitely,
with
it's
pee.
Not pee.
I think
mixed,
it's some pee.
I think it's mixed. Pee.
There's
mixed
definitely some pee.
Yes, it's mixed.
It's hard for it not to be some pee.
But I don't know what it is though.
I mean, I don't know anyone with that you. Kind of fluid just hanging out. You know, it's like
right. I wouldn't know. I don't.
Moving
I don't
on.
Do that,
we're moving on to.
I
the
thought
next
we were
going to
get a diagram.
Yeah, we need. Jamie, pull that.
Okay, here we go.
See, look, it's like it's. I thought it was where the clitoris was.
Wait, but that's it's, that it is, but it's underneath.
But it's like underneath,
underneath it.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
You thought it was there?
Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, like not at the top.
I thought it was at the top.
Oh yeah,
I thought I had like a little penis. I had like a hole in it.
That's cute.
I just got the image of that.
I was like, oh, like that must be where it comes out.
Yeah,
it's not.
No, okay.
I can see that.
It's,
I can see
it's
that.
Like not really visible.
Right.
Does that help.
Yeah. Okay. This is very important for you, Conrad. Someday you're gonna
confession.
Have to figure out where girls pee
it
from.
It was Guapo that wrote that.
Yes.
Yeah, we know.
Guilty
okay.
Charge, we know.
I once played in a home game with a convicted murderer. I flopped a set in that game commented everyone should now refer to me as the devil.
Conrad.
No, that's Tortoise.
It's Tortoise. Oh. Tortoise is maybe. The devil.
Call me the devil.
Oh. Call me John Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Ford.
That is a good one. I guess Burke, you put that in.
Well, let's not one. Just quickly overlook the fact that there was a murderer in the game.
Yeah, he wasn't a convicted murderer at the time.
Well, that's
he was a murderer, just not a convicted.
Right.
Well,
right.
We think we don't.
Yeah.
Well, he's fucking in jail.
He's in jail, but murder. You know, you just never know. Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he's wrongfully convicted.
God, how adorable you are.
I know. I know people in the family, so I just that's why.
Not really sure. Leaving room but, for guesses here.
Yeah, no, I went. It was like the
was
literally the first, second time I've been to Vegas. I think it was with him and his stepson, and like stayed in the same like place.
Yep, could all ended that day.
Yeah,
I stole $1 chip from
no,
him.
No, I mean he. It was his wife that he murdered, so it was like...
Oh,
you know,
well, that's fine.
It was like
crime of passion.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's
yeah, right. Crime of passion.
Right, he was... Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like a, you know...
He wasn't passionate enough about you.
No.
Sometimes you just find yourself stuck in a rut.
It wasn't like a psychopathic killer or something like that.
No.
Well...
All he heard was nag, nag.
Just, you know...
Why'd you tell him to call you
nag, 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 nag.
I didn't. That's... People try to say that I self-proclaimed my nickname was the devil, and other people... Listen, did I give myself the tortoise nickname? No. Did I give myself the devil nickname? No.
They
I don't give myself
you.
Nicknames.
You didn't say call me the devil?
No.
Did he not give himself the tortoise nickname?
Yeah, maybe I did.
I don't know.
No, I definitely did not. I definitely did not.
I am the tortoise.
I feel like he's called himself the tortoise enough.
Here is exactly how the tortoise nickname originated. It was the... Year must have been the year after the pandemic, and we played. I played the main event, and as like a bonus, Berkey, you like put me in it, and then I kept saying like, you know, I always make it through day one. Slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. And Berkey sent that GIF of like, you know, the tortoise walking real slow. It's like, here I come, you know, that gif, right? And that was the The origin. The origin of the tortoise.
Should have told people you were drunk for this episode.
But
he's tight. But then
I'm drunk on.
Okay, but nobody actually called you the tortoise. It was just, you know, a gift, and then you said, "Call me the tortoise."
Yeah, I think you did say that.
I'm pretty sure you said, "Call me the devil," to a murderer.
Yeah.
You're right. Just a tortoise wearing
I
horn.
Said, I'll see you in a few years.
Okay, guys, the point of the game is not to confess right away. So let's let some people guess here.
Well, you know, we all knew that one. It's been said on the podcast.
We do know. Was, but the did the people know?
I think we told that story before.
Yeah. All right, fine. The next confession.
It's been 500 episodes. There aren't a lot of stories left.
Stupid fucks. Yeah. I've never watched Star Trek. Who in this room?
That's the fake one.
Has never watched Star Trek.
Wait, that can't be the fake one. That would be the dumbest fake one ever.
That'd be like the lamest fake one.
Who in here has watched Star Trek?
Yeah, none of us have watched Star Trek.
That wasn't mine.
It's Conrad because he's lazy and just wrote his before the fucking show.
I think it's Melissa.
We all wrote ours before
the show.
Yeah, but like he just thought of it.
Nah, Berkey's good. Berkey's on. Yeah, I think it's...
I just know they do this.
I think it's Conrad.
It's definitely Conrad. It's the dumbest one we could possibly come up with.
Everything else was immediate. You would all immediately know it was me.
We immediately knew it was you anyway.
No, you did not. At least Guapo said it. I think it's Melissa. I got Guapo's ass, and that's all that counts. Because everything else, you guys would immediately said, oh, it's Conrad.
To be fair, I thought the serial killer one was you.
Me too.
Also... To be fair, if you're going to trick someone in the room, it's always going to be nice, kind-hearted Guapo. He's just going to be like, oh, everybody's picking Conrad? Okay, I think it's Melissa.
It's a nice way of saying I'm gullible. Thank you.
you're compassionate.
Yes, exactly.
You are the sign guy.
Hashtag
yeah,
Robbie.
Making signs about Robbie. Free Robbie. Free All right, that, I guess that was Conrad then. Okay. The first time I ever hooked up with a girl was in a threesome.
Definitely Melissa.
Actually.
Wait, was it a homeless girl?
No.
Yeah, it could be like, literally anyone.
I think that was Guapo.
So wait, hold on a second. This is the first sexual experience was with was
the
a threesome?
The first time I hooked up with a girl.
Oh, so there's a guy
was in a threesome.
This actually wasn't me.
So I guess it's
we. It could be
me
you.
Me thinks she it's doth not. Protest too much.
I think
it's
I know.
Not, but that is true. But it's not me.
So it's got to be Burke.
I think it's Burke.
It doesn't have to be. We all put in two.
No, I'm going to go with Berkey.
Yeah, I'll go with Burke as well.
I think it's Melissa.
I will go with Berkey as well.
The last two have been true for me, but not mine.
So. What do you think,
haven't
Conrad?
Seen Star Trek, first time hooking up with a girl was in a threesome.
Yeah.
I
didn't even hook up with her, so that doesn't even count.
I would say it's Nikki if she put one in.
I did put one in.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Nikki.
Oh, I didn't know, but I'm still going with Bark.
Conrad.
All right, well, we got a split room. So.
Wow. Yeah, this one is splitting.
Reveal yourself.
Who do the people think?
No.
Does anyone guess?
Tom Max says Burke.
Corbin Blue.
I think it's Berkey as well.
One person said Corbin Blue. I don't know who that is.
That's Conrad.
Yeah. He could play you.
That's
he could
play you. Look.
Corbin Blue was in Holes.
He was in the Disney movies.
Right?
Yeah.
Holes?
I don't remember what movie, but I remember him being like a Disney star.
Wait, was that the one where he had the in front of the green screen?
What
is that?
You never saw the Shia LaBeouf
just
game?
Do it.
Oh no, no, that was just do it. He was still a kid, I think.
Yeah, this was like old days.
Ephro said Nikki.
Okay, so the audience is split too.
I'm split.
All three votes.
Yeah, I don't know.
All three votes are split. All
right.
I think it was Conrad, and he was like 12.
Yeah.
In a threesome?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That is
12.
Wild.
Go ahead, Conrad. Tell them the truth.
It was Berkey, I assume, because he just tried to throw it up to me, so it had to be Burke.
I think it was. Berkey was like a lover boy.
Yeah, so they didn't have that kind of riz.
Yeah, that's what I honestly was going with. That's why I said I think it's Nikki.
Yeah, it must be Nikki.
So then it's you, Nikolai.
It was not me.
Oh.
Wow.
Wait.
What the hell? Who was it? Did someone else write it?
It's the fake one.
It's the fake one.
No, it's not.
No, see, there's no way it was the fake one.
It was Guapo.
No, it's not me.
Who the hell is it? Someone cop to it.
It's not me.
Right, it's Berkey. I told you guys it's Berkey.
It is Burke.
Really?
It's me. Yeah, of course it was Berkey.
All right,
I know that because I know the story.
I didn't know you were chill like that. Was there a dude in the threesome?
Can we get a little backstory?
No, it was two girls.
It was my sophomore year of college. This girl that lived next door to me every Friday would get drunk and crawl into my bed after I'd fallen asleep and ask me when we were going to hook up.
I know the story.
And I just said, we're
me
not.
Too.
But maybe someday if your roommate's involved. And one day I came home on Halloween dressed up as a kissing booth. And as I was walking into my door, she just grabs me and takes me into her apartment where her and her roommate are already like going to town. And I was like, okay, I guess. So they passed me back and forth like a lollipop. And then my roommate came in and ended the whole thing before I had to do anything.
It's a story. Analogy.
So you got a late start then,
Bert. Like a lollipop.
Yeah,
like
I was like 19.
Lollipop? Okay. People don't normally pass lollipops back and forth.
They do in a threesome.
I don't. I've never done it.
Never done one of those. The best part of the story was actually the aftermath.
Your roommate got arrested, not you.
No, my roommate. So, like, I didn't really do anything with them. We were just like all naked, whatever. And
whatever, brush over that part.
And he like comes in. He comes in after the fact, while like they're trying to get things going again, and I'm just done. I had a friend waiting for me in my apartment. And he was coming over to like, you know, be like, hey man, it's been long enough. And he comes in and he's like, I got this. So I just leave, but he had a girlfriend.
Oh no.
So he takes over the post. I leave, go back with my friend, hang out. And then the next day at practice, I ask him, I'm like, Ricky, like what hell happened? You didn't come home last night. He goes, he's the funniest kid in the world because he had this not so subtle lisp. Where, like, you know, his S's and stuff, he would really, I can't really imitate it, but just know that this all came with a lisp. He's like, I get in there, and they're just fucking going to town. So I just whip it out and start jerking off.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
How old were you?
19.
God, a bunch of virgin ass 19-year-olds.
That's the
this
most.
Is like, this is when they had porn in the magazines.
That's the most Midwest like, shit I've ever heard.
He's like,
the girls were sisters.
He's like,
the guys
it's not cheating. You're just jerking off.
Oh
that,
my
yes, it
God.
Is. That is so inappropriate.
That is wild.
It was so funny.
I can't believe you're going to argue you're not from the Midwest.
What are you talking about?
Stories like this.
First of all, he's not from Pittsburgh. Yeah, second of all, I didn't go to college in Pittsburgh. Third of all, we lived on a lake. It wasn't the Midwest.
Okay,
the north
on
northeast
to the next confession.
Yeah.
All right, I once shit in my hand.
It wasn't me. No.
It's
not
a fake
me.
One.
And
no,
gave it's not. To another human.
What? That's Guapo.
No, it's not me.
It's Melissa. No, I mean, it's Nikki.
I mean, Nikki.
Yeah.
Nikki. She shit
I never shit in
obviously,
my hand.
Obviously, listen, by process of elimination, it has to be Nikki. She's the only one left.
So you took a shit in your hand and you handed it to someone?
It wasn't me.
You think it's me?
Well, I mean, who else is it going to be?
I asked everyone to put in two.
Anything to deal with poop is going to be one of the girls.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
This is why you guys both be voted off of Survivor quickly.
Because you wouldn't admit to
because
it.
No, because
you
we have
need
Koof.
Me. Listen, you need me Koof. As Survivor because I'm a surgeon.
It's a short time out there. Nobody's
everybody
gonna
needs
fucking
a doctor.
Listen, I'm a video editor, yeah. And you definitely.
I'm trained in surgery. No, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
It sounds like me.
So
it's definitely Nikki.
It was me, but I was 3 years old.
All right.
And I didn't realize I wasn't done yet. Mm. And so I already got up off the, and I was, you know, pulling my pants up and I was at my babysitter's house and I just
here we go.
I just grabbed it and then I didn't know what to do with it. So I
gave
it
to
her and
she
took it. She didn't know what it was at first. And
what?
The only reason I know this is because they told me the story and I have vague memories of it. But it was funny because you don't know what age the person is in the story that confessed.
There was a recent clip.
Yeah. Thought it was me.
Was that clip shared in our OnlyFriends chat? The one where they're doing a podcast interview and the guy was talking about how he's been shitting in his hand his entire life.
Oh, yeah. And everybody
found out, like, at that moment.
He was catching it and then putting it in the toilet. He said he was putting toilet paper on his hand.
On his hand and then shitting in his hand, catching it, and then releasing it into
and
the toilet.
And he was talking about it like it was totally
he was flabbergasted
normal.
That
like
no one else did it.
He thought that's what you were
saying.
He was flabbergasted.
Wait, he was talking to one woman, right?
Yeah.
So it was, okay, so it was.
And she was like, what do you mean? What do you mean it doesn't hold it in your hand? He was like, you know, when you put it in your hand and you shit in it. And she's like, no one does that.
She goes, what happens if you have the runs? He goes, That's why you wash your hands afterwards.
Oh my god.
This is like watching that was like watching the reaction whenever I remember we were on the bus. I don't remember what the fuck game we were playing, but we were playing a game similar to this where like you divulge certain things. I remember one of the ones was like which way is the proper way to put a toilet paper roll on with the paper in the back or the front. And that was like very split. But the guys who found out that most people don't stand up to wipe their ass were just like in shock and awe. Like their entire world just came crumbling down. They're like, you're telling me that you don't stand up.
Stand up?
Like yeah. All the way up?
All the way up.
No. I definitely
like, just all, to, like, squat
there was like three guys on the baseball team, so like 3 out of 30, 10%. Just absolutely stood up to wipe their ass.
Why?
And they could not for the life of them so understand weird. How to do it any other way.
Those are probably the same guys that drop their pants all the way down at the urinal. <Yeah. laughs>
For sure.
Yeah, but that's so sad for the guy, because imagine being raised that that's normal, and then like you're on a public
the guy that holds it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're on a public space one day, and you're like, yeah, and then you know when you catch it, and everyone's like, yeah, what the fuck, no, like,
that's not what you're supposed to do. You he's can't. Like, what do you mean?
It's feel like bad gaslighting. For him. I feel bad because the parents trained
right,
him that
yeah.
way.
Somewhere in his 30 some odd years on this world,
if he was like
no
an
one
adult.
Talks
he
never, about it.
He never questioned. Having poop in his hand.
Well, that's something you just did your entire life.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
come I on. Mean, like, you're shitting in your hand. At some point, you have to run through a rationale of why am I putting toilet paper in my hand to poop in?
Yeah, then right? dropping
like,
it in.
Like, there's got to be, there's a little bit of a logic leap here.
Obviously, he didn't.
Well, clearly.
Or obviously, he was just gaslighting
I've
and having
never
fun.
Never shit in a tissue before.
You shit, oh, man. You touch shit every single day if you shit. Like, you don't wipe yourself? It got shit in the tissue when you wipe yourself.
You don't know how to get the... Why are you touching the shit? The tissue is for the shit.
That's what I'm saying. You grab shit
no,
all the
no,
time
No, no, no. You're
tissue.
Not saying that. You don't. Yeah, you wipe.
Wipe and you grab the shit.
You don't grab... Why are you grabbing it? Do you have to suck in your ass while
hold
you're
on,
taking...
So you telling me that y'all just let the doodle fall in the tissue? Y'all don't catch it every time?
Yo.
How do y'all take a shit?
How do y'all take a shit?
I must have seen this shit wrong. I've been catching my shit all these years.
Nah, I'm more disgusted than like, I feel like I can't continue.
That's unbelievable.
Man, the audio listeners are going to be blown away by this one.
That's so
it's going to be a real nightmare, I got to tell you.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I think if you've been trained to do something since you were a little kid, it's hard to like unlearn that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're just like, that's normal and rational. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess this is why cults exist.
Well, it's you like know, paying,
indoctrinate
it's like,
people.
It's like paying
things.
Taxes. Like, why does this? It's not logical.
Well, yeah, you go to jail if you don't. That's,
yeah, exactly.
There's a repercussion.
Maybe and his parents told him he would go to jail if he
yeah.
didn't catch a spoof.
Like, society would judge you if
what
you
what happens when he fumbles a turd?
Way.
Like, what goes through his head? Like, oh, no. I fucked up the process. Yeah. Does he reach in and grab it?
No, no. Andre. Corrects it for the next one.
Andre
he
came in right on time.
Too?
What did he say?
He said, "Welcome to the 500th episode." That's about the time Andre comes.
You know? He's like, "You guys just let the doo doo fall."
I don't know. There's three more confessions in here.
Oh man,
I was a I won a limbo contest.
Oh, that's like some dumb one Nikki put in.
So, wow.
Wait.
Because it's right up there with I know I've never
you
watched
think
Star
my
Trek.
My limbo contest was.
You mean it's a fake one?
No, I mean, she not put me. It in there, but it's just like, it's not a real confession.
Okay, I don't know if you guys.
That's a cop out. That's a cop out answer, is what it
listen,
is.
Listen, I'm not sure if you guys were in the manor on fucking the WPT Voyage, but my man Brian, he shipped the limbo contest.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be
did
him.
I win it?
Huh?
I won it? No. You guys saw what condition I was in that night, so like if I won it, I have no recollection.
I can see what condition you're in right now. Cross your fucking legs.
No, he's got well, big, he's got big hair strings.
You gotta represent.
Showing his hamstrings.
Landon's not showing here. I gotta like you know.
I feel like Melissa, where like
your
the like I haven't seen Star Trek, but that wasn't mine, and I have won the limbo contest.
It was me.
You won a limbo contest?
That was
Orleans.
Your confession.
Flex. Well, it's one of mine.
What? That's
show,
not a confession.
I don't think I could do it anymore. I was like 20.
Yeah, you were just really limber?
Yeah, I was limber.
Wait,
and drunk.
What limbo contest happened when you were 20?
We went to New Orleans.
Okay.
And there was like a bar.
And that was the most interesting thing that happened?
No, no, definitely not. I went home with some small British man, and then like he was staying in a hostel, and his friend was like throwing up in the bed underneath us, so we like couldn't even like
do anything. You should have wrote was I almost got kidnapped.
Right.
It was a hostel.
Yeah.
You know, and he was weird.
We've all seen
he was
the movie.
Super weird, yeah. And my friends were like,
that's scary.
Yeah, no, he wasn't like creepy. He was just like a little weirdo. He's
going
like,
to a hostel.
Oh, like he had like a high rich voice kind of, and he was like, oh,
if you ever want to kidnap someone, just put on a British accent.
Yeah.
People will trust you. Dumb American girls will trust you.
I was blacked out. I don't know. I woke up and his friend was puking below us.
Oh, God.
But yeah, did you get a trophy? The limbo before then.
Did you get a prize?
No, I got a lot of beads, though.
Oh, well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to show boobs.
Nope.
Did you show them anyway?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. We got to the bottom of it.
Yeah. There was a little teeth pulling there, but we finally got to the
Yeah,
to the
but
real
I thought that would be too obvious. It was like I hooked up with a guy, and his friend was puking beneath us. It'd be like, oh, Berkey? Like,
actually
I think these other ones are fake, so okay. I think we faded all of that.
Oh, there we go.
So good job, guys.
Wait, my actual one didn't go, but I'll tell you.
Oh, really?
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, I thought that was the fake
when
ones.
I was three, I jumped on a bird and killed it.
What?
Why?
On purpose?
I was excited.
Wait, did you mean to jump on it, or no. You just were like,
my, a bird? I don't
no, they were taking
you.
It out of the cage, and I was so excited that I like jumped and like just kill the bird.
Wait,
oh my I feel God. Like if you jump on a bird today and kill, you wouldn't kill it.
What?
Like you're not.
It was little. It was like this big.
A little chickadee.
You? How did? Were you so sad?
I guess. Yeah. I don't remember. You my don't. Brother tells everybody.
That's so traumatizing.
Yeah, I don't remember. I blocked it out.
Oh, that's God. Good. Yeah, it's pretty good. They were just taking it out of the cage and it went on the floor and you immediately jumped on it.
I was like, wee, like jumping around. And then I just like jumped on it.
Oh no. Poor bird.
Yeah.
RIP to that homie.
This is why we can't have anything nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't.
Pretty bird.
I think
pretty
we got bird. Another one after that.
I'm pretty sure Berkey ran over a rabbit.
I did run over. I've killed many animals with my car. I'm from fucking Pennsylvania, man. Yeah. You hit
where
shit.
Where we lived, you just you would always
there's
run
rabbits
over shit.
Are, there's
you know how many possums I've hit in my
there's
life?
There's always rabbits that just like unfortunately get hit by cars in front of our house.
There's a lot of rabbits.
And I'm always like,
well, they
I'm
fuck
pretty
like
sure.
rabbits.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure Berkey's hit one of these rabbits.
I've definitely hit one for sure. I felt bad about it. What are you gonna do? Life goes on. Circle of life. Should we get to In the Muck?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So we have another user submission. This person is playing. I don't think they said where they're at, but they're playing a good old 1-2 with a $5 straddle. And I think they're relatively deep. They're about $1,000 deep here. And so our hero, Triple M, is the straddler. It's not on the screen, but just pretend there's $5 there. And Under the Gun folds. Next in line, villain makes it 35. Pretty big open. Comes around to our hero. Decides to just call. And we get a flop of Jack of Clubs, 10 of diamonds, 8 of diamonds. So we have a double gutter and overs. We decide to check. Our hero, our villain now bets pot for 75.
Over pot, right?
Well, there's an extra $5
oh, yeah,
in there. But
right.
Yeah, roughly pot. We decide to call. We turn the king of hearts for the nuts. And now we check. And the villain checks back. And the river is the 7 of diamonds. And we go for an overbet of 275. The villain jams, and we call just to be shown the ace 9 of diamonds for the nuts.
Ooh.
So this hand's, I mean, there's a few different things here that I think.
Well, let's hear it, Professor Brian.
Well, you know, I mean, you could 3-bet preflop. It is a pretty big open from early, so maybe you don't 3-bet. I don't know.
I think calling's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. The check call on the flop. I guess with a big bet like that, maybe you can't check raise as much.
Yeah, I think you need a diamond to check raise.
Yeah, and then, you know, the turn. The turn, you know, it's I just feel like it could go check a lot. Maybe not. Maybe you do just go for a check raise on the turn. That's what he wanted to do. So he said he wanted to check. He didn't want to check raise the flop.
Oh, he wanted to check jam the turn nuts?
He wanted to check raise the turn, but he didn't. And then I think he was trying to make up for the lost value that he didn't get on the turn by with the overbet on the river. He didn't think that he would play diamonds this way. And so
diamonds should check that turn a lot.
Yeah. This person, he also said that this person was playing like VPIPing 50% and, you know, playing pretty splashy and pretty loose. So maybe that would warrant a 3-bet preflop. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that could justify a 3-bet, mm-hmm. but like there aren't that many diamond combinations.
From that position, it doesn't even like 3-bet that much.
No, it mostly plays call, but yeah. If you're against somebody who's playing half the deck,
right,
you can just go for value.
Exactly.
But there aren't that many diamond combinations. Like, you're mostly going to be against Jack Nine of Diamonds, Queen Jack of Diamonds, King Jack of Diamonds, King Queen of Diamonds, Ace Queen of Diamonds to free roll you, Queen Nine of Diamonds. There aren't really going to be a lot of small diamonds. 7, 6, 6, 5 are like the only two, I guess 5, 4, the only two or three. And I would say that those are the only ones that probably follow through on turn. So you'll, without looking at it, I imagine the diamonds that bet the turn are like the high lows. So hands that block ace queen, like ace deuce, ace three, ace four, ace five. And then like the hands that have zero ability to show down or improve that can potentially triple off. So like 7, 6, 6, 5, 5, 4. So maybe there's like, I don't know, 12 combos of diamond draws all toll, and half of them bet the turn, half of them don't. So I don't think we can ever rule out him playing diamonds this way, especially because like King Nine of Diamonds, Jack Nine of Diamonds, Queen Jack of Diamonds, all the pair plus diamonds have no incentive at all to bet. It's kind of the opposite when you're in position. Your combo draws are just pretty happy to check back in situations where you could just run into the nuts and lose. Whereas like your zero showdown value draws that are lower equity are pretty happy to bet, because like if 5, 6 of diamonds bets and ace queen jams, like, okay, whatever, we fold, we have six high, no big deal. But if like a hand like I guess queen nine of diamonds would obviously bet because it's a straight, but if a hand like jack nine of diamonds or queen jack of diamonds bets and gets jammed on, like, that's a fucking nightmare.
Even you don't like his actual
really want to be in there. Ace Nine of Diamonds. That's
like too much hand.
Like, yeah, way too much. It's a combo draw that like you can't be blown off of. Like, again, if you bet Ace Deuce of Diamonds and get jammed on, like, okay, you're pretty dead. Like, your queen's probably not even live. You're probably drawing to a chop a lot. Mm-hmm. So like it's a fine hand to bet fold. But if you if you bet a hand like Ace Nine and get jammed on, like, you kind of have too much equity to fold.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty shitty spot to be in. So yeah, you just have like way better variety. So I wouldn't rule out diamonds here by any stretch of the imagination, which is a good reason why we can't really overbet the river. Now, it does put a one liner to the nine out, which makes it a little bit more enticing to potentially put in a bigger bet on the end. But we have to ask ourselves how much 9x really exists in this line that doesn't include two diamonds. And I think it's really
like
only
King nine.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but it has to be like exactly King Nine of Clubs. Yeah. Probably doesn't blast. I mean, maybe he blasts off with all King Nine. I don't know. But I think maybe he has like one combo of King Nine, maybe one or two combos of Ace Nine that aren't diamonds. And then like, you know, some Jack Nine suited, 10 Nine suited, 9-8 suited. So it's there, but it's a matter of like how greedy can we get versus that particular subset of range. Without looking at the sim, I imagine that we're probably going to be capped at like pot on the end. And I could see that. Well, remember, we do have flushes. So I think we want to go bigger when we have a flush because of the one liner. Like a nine can't raise.
Yeah, that's true.
So we do want to be able to get thick value, and ace queen certainly fits in that mold. Ace queen with a diamond obviously would be a lot better of a combo to have. But again, even like when really going for it, I can't imagine we get to go above pot. In which case, I imagine now we'll split between like block and pot. So when we overbet,
a hand this low down in our equity distribution. It's very high up in our overall equity, but it's the worst hand we could overbet.
Right.
So it's actually bottom of range here when we overbet and get jammed on, which I think just forces us to fold. It'd be a little bit different if we had like the queen of diamonds. I think you would want to like unblock the ace of diamond and, you know, maybe block ace queen of diamonds or queen nine of diamonds, something like that. But I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of spitballing, but the whole hand, the sizings are fucked.
If we unblock the ace of diamonds, aren't we? Wouldn't that open up jams for them? So that means we're calling off.
Well, that's if you're going to call. I'm saying you would prefer to have a diamond, or you have to have a diamond, basically. And even then, I imagine if when we look at it, like ace queen probably just doesn't go this big, and when it does, it probably just has to fold to a jam, because like his jams just have to be bluffs and flushes. It can't ever really be anything straights else anymore.
Yeah.
So you don't dominate any value. You're just bluff catching.
Can you share your screen, please?
Oh yeah, my bad. Thought I was doing that. Yeah, the flop size by imposition though is wild.
Yeah.
Like that's massive and definitely not a thing on these textures. Mm-hmm. That's where I would agree with Melissa. Where I think we're probably limited to like 2/3 potish. I don't even think we would play.
I think this game is probably a little off the rails kind of game. I mean, he did 7x it to start pre-flop.
That's true too.
Right? So yeah. He's
7x from somebody who plays way too many hands would make me want to just like play for it pre, but that's kind of neither here nor there. You can see that in theory, ace queen basically pure calls.
I mean, if I'm not playing for it pre, then I'm playing for it on the flop.
You can't without a diamond. You just get fucked. Turn's too brutal to you. Like deuce of diamonds rolls off and now you have one SPR. What are you gonna do?
I mean,
he's gonna call.
Close your eyes and jam. I think we've gotten to the bottom of what's going on in Conrad's life.
Ace queen's pretty good hand at this point. I have ace high.
Not very good. Obviously like gonna play pure check out of position. So we see it is a range bet here, and he's actually capped at 40%. Even giving him two sizes, it's just never chosen, which makes a lot of sense. The dynamic board, straights are available. You're not really ever going to need to go big. Mm-hmm. We might see the 2/3 come in if it was rainbow, but on the two-tone board where so much of big blind or straddles defense range is just going to be suited cards that have to check fold, in position doesn't need to go nearly as big.
I'm really surprised that it's not a 3-bet pre-flop, like at all. Considering he's opening,
it's a really
tight
formation.
All of his broadways,
yeah. Like low jack, it's a low jack, right?
Yeah,
low jack big blind is. It's like,
I mean, look how linear this range is.
Mostly a call,
you know. Good, Brian.
I was just gonna say because you're also in the big blind too, or the straddle. So you're closing the action,
right?
So like you need to have, you need to be pretty polar, right? When you're when you're reopening the action.
You want to be able to get value too, right? Like when you raise, specifically with those types of cusp hands like ace queen.
Yeah,
when you raise ace jack folds a lot.
Like it should.
Ace jack off,
yeah, right? It should.
Ace 10 off.
And you can
fold.
See like you can see like ace queen suited there. 3-bets at a really high frequency, like 75% of the time.
Yeah, suited one.
Even ace jack suited, ace 10 suited.
He said he did mention, he said if it was suited, he would have 3-bet.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think like the description he gave of the person maybe allows him to 3-bet more frequently. Like it does get in there a little bit, maybe like 4 or 5% of the time at 3-bets. You can maybe drag that out a little bit if you're against somebody who's a maniac.
Is it really that awful when he folds ace jack and ace 10? Because we're out of position.
Those are worse hands than yours.
You should fold king queen too.
Only better hands call.
I mean, we could take a look real quick and see like what the response
is. Even like suited aces like will fold like a lot of them.
I said go. Now go. I would estimate the response is like pretty polar. Once you get it, whoops, sorry, I wanted to.
Oh, you are able to put in straddle.
Yeah, this is a straddle range.
Oh, okay, cool.
So if we go hijack versus big blind, 3-bet pot now, and look and see what hijack's response is. So you can see it's really tight. He folds all ace jack. He folds most ace queen. King queen off is out. So really like, you get value from the suited Broadway hands that you dominate, but he's also flatting like ace king and ace king suited at a really high frequency. He's flatting kings a lot. Like all of these hands just have you in really bad shape. Queens get flatted a lot. So this range, just like you're really concentrating him to having high equity hands. And if we just give the straddle range
like ace queen at a high frequency. So it's here in a sliver. Let's give it like 75% weight instead. I would imagine that if we generate like a 2-2-2 board, which should be advantageous to the three better, you're just going to see more advantage shift towards in position. Like this is probably going to be like a 50-50 flop instead of it being a pretty big advantage to out of position. So it's not even quite a pure range check, or sorry, range bet, which you would mostly expect on this type of texture. And yeah, you can see the equities actually run really, really close. Hmm. Where I think if we take ace queen out, which we can run that experiment really quickly since we're fucking around and finding out, we just take it out altogether. So it was 52-48 before. I would imagine we're going to get a couple points of equity back. And nope, it didn't change it that much, I guess. So it's now 52.147. So it's not that sensitive, I guess, to ace queen.
But if you're three betting ace queen, then there's maybe some other hands that you're three betting that, you know, you put all those in.
It did change the strategy a lot. Yeah. It reduced our checking frequency by almost 10%, mm-hmm. or more actually. It was 26% before. So it gets a lot closer to a range bet. You can see that it's just the Fantastic Four that prevents that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, once you start to get a pip or two too wide, and also we do have a little bit of ace 10 in there, if we took that out as well, like it would continue to, it would keep creeping up, right?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, preflop unfortunately matters. I wish it didn't.
It does. But you just have to accept it, Burke.
Right, it just does.
Cash preflop is like, you know, it's the tournament ones that are hard.
That's yeah, true.
It's
way harder.
That is kind of true. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to restrict this to only being a single size of pot, which is going to be a very interesting output.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to do that. So it might just start checking back here like 70% of the time. Landon, maybe even more.
Landon would be so pissed.
Why?
Just because the machine's broken.
Yeah, so pretty close. So 60% of the time it's now going to check back. It basically like doubles the check frequency. But, you know, it can manage this strategy. It's just lower EV. And you can see that like a hand like ace nine of diamonds is in there, pure. So yeah. We're not like that far off from baseline of what actually happened in practice. Ace queen, it's going to be pure call,
yeah.
Unless we have a diamond. Ace of diamonds, queen of clubs is our most frequent check raise as we block front door, back door. And yeah, there's no variety of ace queen that check raises without a diamond. So like, you know, kind of as we stated, it's just really critical to have. Ace queen of diamonds is the only check raise from the suited variety. So obviously, we're just going to be continuing through a call. King of hearts on the turn. I don't think we'll have any leads on this. I could be wrong. I guess I could see a world where we get the lead some, but no. Nope. The gut was correct.
Yeah, so that was one of his specific questions he asked.
That's like, just because he lost the hand.
Yeah, he wanted to know if he could have prevented it.
Well, I don't see why he would want to lead this
He
turn,
did say, though. Is there other hands that I would lead here?
Oh, right. But yeah,
I can't think of any, why? You know?
Right, mm-hmm. Because the king hits his...
So much better for him.
The king just hits in position's range.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
As king,
it's
queen,
just, it's
as
not
ace king.
Your card, so...
Yeah, like, in position should have ace, queen, and full. It should have ace, king, at some degree, king, queen, queen, nine.
Yeah.
There's just, like, so many hands, king, jack, king, ten... Many hands that like have you in peril.
Like this is if this is 6-4 deuce and then turn is 7 or turn 8, then that's a different story.
A little bit
like
different.
That's
the lower
probably the flop, but
the lower and more connected the flop and the turn are, the more frequent our leading will be, obviously. So you can see imposition kind of got this right. They do a lot of checking back. Ace nine of diamonds, pure bet though. Kind of surprising to me. I guess it's because the king is so advantageous.
Yeah.
That's the biggest reason why. I would imagine if we make this a deuce. Well, if we make it a deuce, then we do have like a pretty pure combo for a combo draw. I was going to say a seven, but that would be it. Yeah. If you make it like a six or a nine, maybe even like an ace. You might see a lot of checking back. Actually, I'm pretty confident with an ace, we would see a lot of checking back. But anyway, so ace nine of diamonds actually should be betting here. Let's see. Knowing that ace nine of diamonds bets, I might actually have it backwards in the way that it chooses to bet versus check the diamond variety. There's a way to separate by suit. I never get all this stuff figured out. But let's see. Let's draw. So we can.
There's like a, there is a place where you can select the suit. The suit.
Yeah, there is. I thought you could separate it by.
It's in the right.
Hmm. Not real sure. This is something that I always figure out when I'm doing like on second thought.
Bottom right box somewhere.
This one?
Oh, no. No, like in the little tabs on it. See?
No.
Where it says like summary and.
Summary?
No, below.
Down.
Right in there. Oh, yeah. There we go. You're right. Filters. Yeah. You're so smart.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
So there, you can filter by double diamond. So, yeah, it looks like, well, I was partially right, partially wrong, I guess. So it is betting the combo draw of ace nine. Obviously, it's betting straights. That goes without saying. And, of course, it's checking back the pair plus. So it's checking back the ace jack. It's checking back the king nine, king seven, king six. Two pair, obviously, it's betting. Kind of surprised to see king queen of diamonds bet, ace nine of diamonds to bet. But we were right with the low ones, so it picks the worst ones first. Obviously, ace deuce bets, ace four mixes. And then, like, once you start to get to the ace five, ace six, it starts pure checking, while ace seven, pure bets. So it really does want the ability to improve outside of a diamond.
Yeah. Because those can, like, handle the check raise.
Right. So the I think what it is that the principle is still the same. The greater showdown value you have, the less likely you are to bet. But the combo draws are preferred over the no showdown value, no combo draw variety. Mm-hmm. Specifically with the nut flush draws. And
like, you want to realize your nut flush draws.
So. Yeah, well, it also comes down to this fact of we have a lot of other flush draws that are made hands. So we have top twos and we have three varieties of straights. 9-7, queen, nine, and ace, queen. That are all flush draws plus straights. So those all are like mandatory bets. And it's kind of like what I was saying before. There aren't that many combinations of diamonds.
Yeah.
So, you know, the computer here is going to be a little bit wider with the king high diamonds. Like, it's going to have all of king nine, king seven, king six in this flop bet size. But it doesn't have any of the fantastic four. So, like, if given the ability to only bet pot or check, it doesn't go off with six high, five high, seven high type of hands on the flop. Which means that they're devoid now on the turn. So, you know, the OP was kind of a little bit right. The diamonds don't play this way that often. Again, it is still like a 50-50 mix of the ones mm-hmm. that check back, yeah. but it's all the pair plus ones. Mm-hmm. So, though he's like partially right, it doesn't matter. It would matter more if he had like the jack of diamonds in his hand.
Yeah.
It would matter more if he had the king of diamonds in his hand, if he blocked these pair pluses, because those are the ones that are mandatory bets. Mm-hmm. So now you could say like, oh, okay, well, he never has the king high flush. He never has a flush that contains a jack, that type of stuff. But right. you can't really eliminate anything when you have ace queen off, no diamond.
Yeah.
So when we follow through here with a check and we see the river seven of diamonds, now the seven of diamonds is going to eliminate even a couple more combinations of potential flushes that you could have, like king seven of diamonds obviously never exists, but yeah, we were right in our instinct. Capped at pot, and then 40% is the secondary choice, so it's somewhere between like a hedgy block and a full pot size bet, but we do mostly bet. Like this board runs out us.
Yeah.
He's mostly going to be capped to one or two pair type of holdings. And that puts us in a position to, that's with flushes. Okay. So that makes more sense. We're still betting a lot. We're still betting a lot, but we're leaning more on the block size.
Right.
So if we give this, let's just give it a third option. What did he choose? Pot and a half?
Like 125.
Yeah, 125.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not going to be that different. Yeah. It's going to look similar to, like, what we see in the pot variety. Matter of fact, maybe we just examine that. We do see some stuff come here for pot. So, there's ace-queen off, but it's only going to be with a diamond, which we knew.
Yeah.
And it prefers the ace of diamonds. You just block more flushes that way, I suppose. Mm-hmm. If we eliminate this size and we just examine what happens at pot, which is going to be a little bit more practical rather than trying to split those two. Let's see if ace queen gets in there with out of diamond. Yeah, a little bit. So there's a little bit of ace of spade, queen of heart, ace of heart, queen of spades. So kind of like unblocking the clubs backdoor.
And I would assume that when we face jam here, those hands are going to be doing a lot of forward. Did I misconstrue the... No, that's right. He jammed for about a little less than two pot, right?
He jammed... It was...
Like 800 into
300? 890. It was 200 in the pot, and then two something in the pot, and he bet 275, and he jammed over the top for 890.
Okay, so he's actually jamming for like 75% pot. So yeah. I screwed the pooch a little bit here with sizings, but you can see ace-queens appear fold without a diamond, and that's not going to change. if we just change it to a pot-size raise instead, I still don't think that's going to change. So ace-queen starts to call a little bit more, but again, only with a diamond. So yeah. Just the diamond varieties call more often. Mm-hmm. It's that critical and that sensitive. And again, a lot of this is just born off the fact that of the hands that are capable of betting pot for us, so let's take a look back here again of what's betting pot. This is just mostly going to be all flushes across the board. These are all flushes. Then we have like queen jack off, which is effectively a bluff. That's pretty much what that falls into. We have queen nine off, which again, this is much less sensitive to having a diamond because it's always bet folding. But it wants to get kind of thick value from those two pair combos or the naked nines. But these hands are like really bad because they block a nine that may like have a diamond and choose to like try to blow us off or mm-hmm. whatever. And then yeah, like everything else is just a flush or a straight. So we have a little bit of like ace king off, ace of diamonds, but again, that's just effectively a bluff. I don't think that hand ever expects to get called by worse. Same thing with like ace eight off with the ace of diamonds. These are just pot size bluffs that we're using to match all of the flushes that we have, and you can see that we have a pretty heavy variety of or breakdown of flushes. If we take a look at the concentration, yeah, we have little over twice as many flushes as he does, and our range is three times as wide. So that gives you a good indication at the combo level. Mm-hmm. That actually means we have like six times as many combinations of flushes than he does, which is a really difficult thing for imposition to juggle. So when you get jammed on, that's scary,
right?
Yeah, and you like know? The chart, you can see like it goes straight up at the end.
Yeah, right. So like when he shoves, that's going to be very, very, very polar. And that in and of itself should, especially at these stake levels, really raise an eyebrow. Mm-hmm. You can see that his jams are kind of mirroring what we're potting with. It's all flushes. And then like jack 10 off is the bluff with the jack of diamonds,
some
ace 10 off.
Pocket fives, why not?
Right, like ace 10 yeah. off, pocket fives.
Just I, don't
like,
think fives. I don't think they're finding yeah, they're these bluffs.
Just yeeting it.
They're not.
Ace king off with the ace of diamonds. That's going to yeet it. They're all trying to match the nut flush. Notice how like the bluffs aren't coming from like straight combos.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're coming from combinations that block the nut flush in some sort of capacity. Even fives is going to block ace five of diamonds.
Right.
Which would potentially play this way. So, you know, effectively all it's trying to do is ensure that it doesn't run into a flush anytime that it chooses the jam. And then everything else is just going to be some variety of a flush, which is obviously strong enough to put in, two pots. So as played, you know, I know we talk about just paying all the time, mm-hmm. but this is one of those ones where when you choose non-sizes, and to be fair, like he wasn't that far off, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But an overbet's an overbet.
Yeah.
Right? It signifies something. When you're capped at pot and you choose to go 125% pot and the person isn't afraid of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Good indication that like, okay, we probably gotta exit this one. Somehow he does have a flush here.
It almost have to be purely bluffing. I can't see worse.
Definitely don't beat value.
Right.
You certainly don't beat
any value. I mean,
like you have concerns.
You might chop with ace queen, but I don't even think like ace queen's not going to. Maybe if they have ace queen with the ace of diamonds.
Right.
Or something
like that. You have concerns if you have queen jack of diamonds.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck. Yeah. Like, I don't know how I win here. Mm-hmm. I don't really beat value.
I assume the just pay notion happens if Hero had just checked, it would be check call.
100%.
Like, yeah.
100%. Yeah. But I don't really think ace queen could ever do. It does check. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, even if we block and just face a normal size raise, I would imagine... So, like, if we block and he pots, I imagine we're going to do a little bit more call. Yeah, ace-queen, pure call.
Yeah.
Right? Now suits don't matter.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really all about the strategy that you're employing here. Mm-hmm. Like, big bet followed by big raise is scary.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's
so nutted.
Sometimes you don't need the machine to tell you this.
Right.
Your instincts are good.
Yeah. Sometimes you think like, oh, I missed value on the turn, so now I have to make up for it on the river. And then you make a mistake by overbetting when you could just sometimes bet small and then they find a raise and you just call and win.
Right.
Now you got that value anyways, instead of putting yourself in the position where now they jam on you and you're like, oh my God.
I think if it was like the six of diamonds or five of diamonds, maybe he doesn't go for the big bet. Like, I don't necessarily know this is a reaction to missing value on the turn. I think it's more that it puts a one liner to a nine out.
Yeah.
And you're just really
nut straight.
Yeah, you're just really trying to maximize against that jack nine region or what have you. But It can get you in trouble. If you guys would like to submit your own version of In the Muck, we would love to go over it. Be sure to head to the OnlyFriends_pod Twitter account. It's the pinned tweet, or you can hit hashtag Discord in our chat. That'll give you the link. We have a whole community set up, a forum dedicated to In the Muck, and we would love to dissect yours. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, we do have two academies coming up at the end of May. We have the Cash Academy, May 23rd to the 25th. May 24th to the 26th. May 23rd to the 25th.
We were talking about cash?
Yeah.
May 23rd to the 25th.
Yeah, I was right the first time. then we have the MTT Academy, May 27th to the 30th.
Yeah, that's right, Berkey.
It's a four-day academy.
If you plug this every single day, you'll get it.
That's true. Maybe that's the thing to do. also, don't forget, huge shout-out to Champions Club at Houston, who is our sponsor for the week. They are bringing the PGT to Texas Is it next week? Is it next week the 24th? Yeah, next weekend.
Yeah, next weekend.
Next week.
So starting next weekend, April 24th through May 5th, PokerGo Tour is headed to Texas for the first time. It opens with a $2 million guaranteed main event, flights starting Wednesday, April 24th. There are eight total flights, $3,300 main event buy-in with a guaranteed $2 million prize pool and a very aggressive step satellite series if you want to try to get in a little bit cheaper. This is the smallest buy-in the PGT has ever had that they've run so far, and they do offer that big free roll for anybody who is, I believe, top 40 in points at the end of the year. So maybe you go out, maybe you win the main for a big prize, maybe it gets you a couple hundred PGT points, and now all of a sudden you're firing high rollers for the rest of your career.
That's how it works.
This is how dreams are made, people, okay? You're going to get your ass to Texas. Everything's bigger out there. Melissa's going to be there, probably not playing any of the events.
No.
Probably just being a wag.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
Living that wag life.
Yep. Yeah. Have some signs out there.
Oh, yeah.
Go, Sam, go. Yep.
I can help you with that sign, Melissa.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Guapo will get you a nice
expertise. It's
very well detailed.
Is it less stressful or more stressful? Like, would you?
Are you to watch?
To watch is more stressful to watch than to be actually playing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's way more stressful to watch than play.
Yeah.
What happened in the 25K? Your boy had all the chips.
He Coleman 4-bet jammed ace 5 suited.
Oh, he cat jammed them.
He had queens, and it was jack 8 deuce. Or it was jack 8, 3, 5, deuce.
Yeah, that'll do it.
4 deuce, yeah. All right. Well, showers, buddy.
Like 10 unlucky. Left, 8 pay.
No, he bumped. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry.
You hate to see
He did have a $250,000 score, so be right.
That's true.
Yeah, he had a good series.
He's still rich.
Why are those queens never holding?
I know, right?
I bet he makes $1,000 an hour.
Well, here's another 500, right?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anxiety Burke says there's 500 more.
Yeah.
We'll see who shows up tomorrow. That's going to do it for us, squad. We really appreciate you celebrating 500 episodes with us. We're going to be back for 501.
Let's go.
Noon Pacific tomorrow. I have a couple fun hands to discuss from today's session, so maybe we can go over that. None of them are in the muck. I actually won for once in my
goddamn life. Let's go, Burke. He's back.
Let's go.
But,
he's staying on the island.
Things can change
backyard
between now and tomorrow.
Backyard is back in action.
I did win about a backyard today.
Nice.
We'll see you guys noon Pacific tomorrow. Be sure to tune in and like, subscribe, leave a comment.
Peace.
Peace.